this kid, I mean, I watched his race, USC, for USC, and again, it was a 9.75 wind-aided 100 meters. How good can Andre Degrassi be?
I've been quoted as saying, sky's the limit for this guy. I mean, this sort of progression we've seen from a sprinter has never been done before. I mean, you know, typically, guys running these times, you know, are well into their 20s, 30s. So based on the progression I've seen for the last 3 years, I have to say that it's really hard to put a number on it. If it continues this way, I know that he's not training at, 100% capacity, stays healthy. I have to say sky's the limit.
I know he hasn't been running for too long, Tony. How raw is he in terms of his technique?
His mechanics are actually pretty good. I know, you know, some obvious things that people have probably never seen, the straight right arm and that sort of thing. But, you know, in sprinting, a lot of the grip mechanics is really below the waist. Mm-hmm. And Andre has got superb mechanics below the waist, which is probably even more important than the arm action that everybody's talking about, the straight arm. So fundamentals are all there. I mean, you know, a little tweaking here and there, but the fundamentals are all very solid.
You know, and didn't Usain Bolt, and hasn't Usain Bolt with his height, hasn't it kind of changed the way some of us have looked at sprinters as well?
Well, the height factor, I mean, you know, a lot of people talk about height, but the sprinters come in all different packages. I mean, you look at a guy like Kim Collins, he's probably 5'8". He's been running for 20 years and still running sub-10 times. So, I mean, it's all about force application and weight ratio to force. So it really, body type to me is not necessarily, it gives you any huge advantage, but say in the event.
No Canadian has ever run both a sub-10 and a sub-20. And if the conditions are right at the Pan Am Games and the wind is legal, there's a chance that Andre could do it in the same meet. And one of the things I didn't realize, Tony, till after the meet, until I started looking at this, I had no idea that his 100-meter race and 200-meter race in Eugene, Oregon, they're 45 minutes apart. I had no idea they were that close. To be able to do that, to run those times, and his 200-meter time was really good as well. To be able to run, it was 1958. To be able to do that within 45 minutes of each other, that's pretty remarkable, isn't it?
Well, you know, not really. I mean, typically, you know, as sprinters, we kind of like that first and second race not too far apart. You know, I think you can limit the second warm-up and use some of that first race warm-up to go into that second event sometimes, and generally produces some pretty good results with, 45 minutes, a little tight, but mm-hmm. not something that's ridiculous in any manner.
Tony, I know Andre's name has just kind of jumped onto the scene for a lot of us, but you go way back with him. Can you just tell us his story, how he was discovered, where he came from, and what was initially seen by people in the know?
Yeah, well, you know, I ran into Andre back in, he was in grade 12 at the time, and I actually went up to York University to watch one of my other athletes compete at the 400 meters, and I got there a little bit early, and they were finishing up the 100-meter senior boys event, which is typical of the last 100-meter run. And sat in the stands and saw this kid go down the track, finish second to another young man, which was already established on the track scene. So the ones that don't compete for track clubs are usually the ones that catch my eye because, you know, typically the track club kids will dominate these events. But there was this guy second place, and I kind of watched his start where he was kind of turned towards the starter, kind of turned around from a kind of a baseball stands in some basketball-type shorts, borrowed some spikes, I think, and ran 10-9. And 10-9, you know, with no training is no easy feat. We have guys that have been training in high school 4 years and they can't break 11 flat. So something like that as a coach will certainly catch your attention. And I was fortunate enough to get an introduction to the young man and, gave him my card and asked him to follow up with me. And I think I could help you make sure you get to the provincial championships, because if you're running sideways with no starting blocks, there's no way you're going to advance. So he yielded my advice and gave my card to his mother, Beverly, and Beverly called me on the Thursday. I was at the same track meet on Thursday, and I invited him up to a session with my track club that Saturday morning in Andre, and his mom showed up, and, just history, ended up making the Oslo finals that year and improved from 10-9 to, I think, 10-5 in a matter of 4 weeks. I'm kind of shaking my head going, who is this kid? So I know I had something special, right?
It sounds like one of those Disney movies. I mean, as a coach, has anything like that ever happened for you before where you just go to and you discover this almost unknown?
You know, I've been fortunate in that I've been able to spot a few very talented kids. Some of them you'll hear a lot more about in the near future. You know, but Andre is obviously, I've never come across anything like that in terms of progression and, you know, improving at that rate and his ability to learn quickly. You know, starting blocks typically, you know, it takes a little while, but he picks it up pretty quickly. Of course, he had some issues, but was able to get the fundamentals in place pretty quickly. And I, again, competed against all the provincial boys in high school 3 weeks to 4 weeks later and beat them all. So, you know, so he's a little different in terms of the talent.
In conversation with Tony Sharp, Olympic bronze medalist and Canadian track and field coach, where do the Pan Am Games fit into Andre Degrassi's development?
Actually, following up on, you know, what he's just completed the double at the NCAA, it couldn't be better timing, I think. You know, the level of competition that we're expecting, Andre should definitely excel. You know, knock on wood that everything stays healthy with sprinters. There's always that risk. So if he's in, I know his coach is going to have him ready to run very well at Pan Am. So, yeah, I think that stage is probably about ready for that.
How does he deal with, I guess, his first serious taste of fame? Because I've read that since the NCAAs, his phone's been kind of blowing up. And let's face it, the Pan Am Games are in his own hometown. Does any of that concern you, and how do you think he'll deal with it?
You know, that's going to be interesting to see, but knowing Andre, he's such a humble, cool cookie. I mean, you know, you talk to him and we FaceTime and he's still just Andre, the humble, nice, smiling kid. So I don't know. I mean, NCAA, I mean, I think that was a pressure cooker. If, you know, there's some pretty fast guys in that 100 meters, five guys under 10 seconds. I don't think he took that one lightly either. So, you know, this field at Pan Am, I don't anticipate it being a whole lot stronger than the field he beat in Eugene. So I think the kid has got a chance to deliver.
Is there, you talked about the way he runs right now, and when I say the way he runs, I mean the actual act of running and how it may not be prototypical. You also made the point, Tony, that, you know, sprinters come in all shapes and sizes and styles. But is there something he does that may actually, something he does different or something he does better than other sprinters that gives you the idea that he's just kind of scratching the surface right now?
Nothing that jumps out at me particularly. I can only see him getting better. I mean, he's not strong yet. I mean, mm-hmm. The first 30 meters, that's really the drive phase, the power phase. He doesn't really have that yet. So, you know, once Andre puts that first 60 meters together where he's you know, he's probably runs like 6.5. World-class guys are running 6.4. There's 0.2 right there. So,
right.
You know, like Bolt went through at 6.3 when he broke the world record. So you think about that. That's the area I think he's going to get the greatest improvement from is that first 60 meters. And that's only a matter of him, you know, getting a lot stronger in the weight room and that sort of thing. So there's a lot of upside to this kid.
Is he a good student insofar as when it comes to sprinting? Because one of the things you do, you know from a lot of good sprinters, a lot of them do video work. A lot of them are really focused on kind of finding that tenth of a second. Is he a good student? Does he have a good aptitude for sprinting?
Yeah. I mean, if we look at reviewed the semifinals at Oregon compared to the finals, there's two different guys that showed up on that track. And that was really accomplished by a good video review with him and his coach Carol Smith in between those two races. And 24 hours later, you know, he didn't win the semifinal, if you recall or watched it. He was second in the semifinal.
Right.
And he corrected everything that he needed to and destroyed the field. I mean, if that's not aptitude for learning, I don't know what is.